Hey folks, welcome to Writers Meeting. I'm your host, David Pingree, joined by Bruce Marotta and special guest today, Seth Hamaker, Mr. Podium Man from Daytona. Seth, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we love to have you. It's always good to get somebody that actually knows what the hell they're talking about because you were there doing it. So,
yeah, good job, Seth, last night. Good ride.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this is brought to you by Rock and Turf, Maxxis Tires and Speed Straps. Rock and Turf making for artificial grass. If you guys need some turf, any kind of hardscape, they're your guys. Check them out on Instagram at Rock and Turf. Also, Maxxis Tires, light truck tires. Check them out. All kinds of cool stuff for your vehicles and side-by-sides. And Speed Straps, our latest addition to the group here, making some really cool tie-downs. They're actually in the process of designing something that's going to be just elite level for tie-down stuff, kind of change the game. So stoked to have those guys on board. Let's get started with this thing, man. And start with the 250 class, Seth, since you were in it. Talk a little bit about this track. We were kind of chattering before we hit record here, and something I remember from Daytona is just how, and Ricky alluded to it on the show briefly, but this dirt is so dark down there and it gets so rutted and so much character in it. And then you have the speedway lights that really only come from one direction. And so it creates some shadows and some depth perception issues on top of a track that was already really rough, kind of muddy, and really beat to hell.
Yeah, it was a very, very difficult track. It always is, I feel like, at Daytona, but this year with it having it, what seemed like there was more and more moisture in the dirt to start with. Even press day was super gnarly already. It was getting rutted in the transitions and way more than when I've raced it in the past. And yeah, just to add to, like you said, with the light situation, it makes it tough when the dirt's already that dark and you're just kind of going into the ruts blind. You know that there's ruts there, but you can't really see what's in them, if there's kickers in them or how deep they really are sometimes. So that makes it tough. And especially like when I did the sight lap, like I have goggles on that don't have any tear offs on. And then when you put like 21 tear offs on, it kind of has a more of a glare too. Like it just kind of makes it a little more difficult. But once you get out there and get going, kind of get your flow, it, you know, just kind of have to send it.
Yeah. But you're kind of riding by braille a little bit, right? Like you said, the first lap, you're kind of trying to figure out what the track's, you know, actually feels like. And then you go, okay, I remember this rut feels like this now. And as it evolves, you kind of adapt with it. But anyway, absolutely, there's a lot to it. And when we see guys crashing and making mistakes, it's why. This is a really, really crazy track. Talk about the beginning of this main event here. Kind of how it went for you and the challenges you faced. At one point you had Deegan right behind you, and then you were able to kind of stretch away from him and actually close in on Cameron. Kind of take us through your main event.
Yeah, my main event, my jump off the gate wasn't very good, but there was a hole that opened up and I was able to squeak around really good on the inside there, which got pretty lucky there and made it happen early on to get into like third, I think it was, in the off the start, which wasn't bad. And then yeah, Deegan and I were kind of back and forth there for the first couple laps. He was kind of making some mistakes and I was able to capitalize, which was nice. And then I was riding behind Cameron for a little bit, and Vial was rolling. He got around me in that split lane. I didn't really know what was faster, but he was making that inside outside work, and I feel like I wish I would have adapted to that line a little bit sooner. But anyways, was able to stay ahead of Deegan and then kind of pull a gap on those guys. So that was kind of nice to have a little bit of breathing room. Was able to get into more of a flow mid-race once I kind of figured out where the lines were and what lines were better than others. And then there towards, you know, the last part of the race, I was able to reel in Cameron a little bit. Just wasn't quite there, close enough at the end, but I was just, you know, stoked to put on a little bit of a charge. And honestly, I felt really good throughout the main event.
And were you pretty psyched just to kind of have a podium? I mean, as a step in the right direction for this season?
Yeah, it just felt really good to be back up on the box. It's been super long. I was saying last night how I think 2022 Oakland, so it's been a long time, and feels good. And just for the confidence and yeah, fourth last weekend, back on the box this weekend. So just kind of keep going in that direction.
chipping away. And you've got a bit of a points hole just based on that first round and some of the stuff that happened there. But
yeah, 13 down still. But hey, we got a lot of racing and just got to – it sucks to be down that much. But honestly, I believe I can be there and just got to keep chipping away and doing my best and see where it falls. And we got two East-West showdowns and open stadium, so you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot. The East-West one alone could swing that gap to just about nothing. So I want to talk about it. Let's kind of just go through the results here and talk about Tom Vial. We called him out last week as sort of a guy who was a dark horse. You know, we thought, man, this might be, he got his first podium ever. He's obviously talented outdoors, rough, rutted tracks. This might be a really good place for him to shine. And damn it, he really did.
Yeah. Hey, Ping, I gotta say it, dude. Millsap said it. If he gets a start, he's gonna do good. So I feel like he was up there, you know, and he put himself in a good spot on that start. So
the start is so important. You've got to like realize or remember how significant getting a start is. And if you've got gloppy mud just dropping down onto your grate, you're going to spin. I mean, the grates are good traction, but if there's wet mud on them, you will spin. Am I right or wrong here? I was like, this is such a no-brainer. Yeah. Why are they not saying this?
I agree. I didn't really watch the broadcast back, but no, I definitely agree with you. It's like, yeah, it's pretty black and white, I feel like, you know, so yeah. But for me, I just felt like I wanted just to kind of see the track. I definitely, and don't get me wrong, I definitely thought about the tire and the mud kind of get, you know, on the bike, but that's just what I decided to do. And I tried not to overthink it, you know, and I didn't want to do what other guys were doing just because, you know, and make that decision on my own. So
no, it was a tough one because it wasn't, you know, if a track's just a full soupy mudder like Frisco,
then
I know what I'm getting into and it's going to be a nightmare. But this was like, all right, it's not totally muddy, but you know, I really, it would benefit me to go and have a look at the lines and see how much things have changed. And so difficult decision there. Did you guys swap a rear wheel or no? Just try to wipe it the best you could, spin it and go.
Yeah,
for it.
I got back. I just spun it as best I could. And yeah, that was that. Chance was right next to me. They swapped the wheel and dude, they rolled in and they were setting the whole shot device. I think the 30-second board had like 15 seconds on. So it's like one of those things where like that was one. I knew if I did the slight lap, I wasn't going to do that because I like to kind of be set and ready to go.
Yeah.
Just like with that time crunch, I was like, I didn't want to rush the slight lap either because he like did the slight lap pretty fast, I think, just to get back and have time for the guys to swap it. But yeah.
Yeah, hey, it's a decision to make either way, right? Like there's pros and cons to both. You ended up still getting a good start. So you know, I've seen mechanics will lay like little hand towels down underneath the bike so it'll catch that stuff that drops and then they'll grab those right at the last minute. Like you did, kind of spin the tire at the back of the grate to try to sling everything off and whatever's going to drop will drop back there. There's techniques, but I wish those guys would have gone into some of those details of the decisions you guys are having to make up there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Seth, I want to ask too, like, so from from watching on the broadcast, it looked like every lap a line was different. Can you share with us, like, was that how it was? Like, was every lap you came around, was every line changing? Was it different or how was it?
I would definitely say early on in the main, it was changing just because like they did do a little bit of track work and the insides, they kind of prepped up. So there wasn't like a, like good line at first. So I feel like some of the outside berms kind of were working at first. And then eventually some of the insides got better once they got like a good groove in it. But yeah, that one rhythm section after the mechanics area, like those ruts in between the transitions, like they were ever changing. There wasn't the same line every lap. It was just kind of like going into something new. But I think, like I said, in the beginning of the main, it was more so changing than halfway through to the end. I feel like I was able to remember and hit kind of the same lines consistently.
Yeah.
That rhythm lane was wild, dude. Like, trying to remember, it was so long. And yeah, like you said, it kept changing. And
It was difficult.
There's a lot to it. Yeah.
It was at the end there, like, I got a good rhythm. It was like, I was just trying to do what was simple, but just do it clean and fast. And I was just going literally double that little tabletop, double, then triple out. And then I could just sky over that single. And then that was plenty fast. And I was able to do that consistently. There was probably a faster line to do, but it was more risk. And it was just, you probably weren't going to be able to hit it every lap.
Yeah. Right. In a track like that, consistency is so key, right? I mean, you'll give up something that's a little faster for something you know you can do 15 times in a row.
Yeah. And it's just, it sounds simple, but just hit the obstacles. And it's like, just got to do the jumps, you know? So, yeah.
Your teammate Cameron kind of had a quiet race. He was leading, made a little mistake, went off. And then there wasn't a lot of great racing, to be real honest. The top four, you guys kind of settled down. Pierce rode a great race up into fifth. Hayden sat in fourth. Cody Shock sixth. Swole seventh. Anstey eighth. Welton ninth. And Bennick tenth. As fun as the track was to watch guys try to manage it, the racing wasn't super awesome. It was like all of those 180s are so one line. It was really tough to make passes, huh?
I was just going to say that. Like, it was a challenging track, but it wasn't a track that you could really set guys up. If you were going to pass them, it was maybe either because of a mistake or just honestly a better line. And that was, you were kind of slotted in. It wasn't like you could set up many passes, to like brake check a guy or whatever, you know, take the line.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's our Maxis moment of the night to me was really Deegan's troubles, started in practice when he jumped over the bars, and man, did he get lucky cross roading up that thing. And just the way he landed was best case scenario. That could have been a season ender. And I think
I was right behind that.
Did you see it?
Oh, man. I was literally like his bike, because I still hit the triple right behind him. And when his bike flew up, I was thankfully I was just on the right enough. I missed it. But yeah. And that was that was on a fast lap. And then they red flagged it, so they didn't count my lap. And I was like, damn. And then I was like, because I knew it was good. And they didn't even, they just wiped the whole lap out so you can't see the segment times or nothing. But then anyways, I didn't really have a good lap before that. And then we got back and we were waiting for them to let us go. And we had like 3 minutes left. And I was like, man, I'm going to have like one or two laps, but it was all good.
So, hey, Seth, did you think like he was done for the night when you saw that?
Yeah, when I saw him flying through the air, I was like, I don't know if he's going to be okay. And I didn't see how lucky he did get when I was riding until I watched it back. Right. But yeah, just watching like a crash like that, it's not very, often do people get up and from those, you know, and be able to race. But.
Yeah.
No, he got question. And then I want to just mention real quick, his crash recovery. I think it was in the heat race. Did you guys watch this video back where he kind of swapped it, like did a 180 and then just pivoted and spun it around and took off again?
Yeah. That was pretty, man. That was impressive right there.
I've never seen anything like it. It was like, I don't know if it was just dumb luck, but he was so quick to think to just plant his foot and spin it around and go. I've never seen such a big mistake cost so little time. I mean, he might have only lost a second or two. It was wild.
Yeah, that was insane.
Okay, so let me just run through the points here, because this is the last thing I want to touch on with the 250 class. Max Anstey still leading even after his eighth. Like, he has not had these great results, but it's just this class has been such a mix-up. He is leading right now with 52 points, which is such a low amount, right? Like, you could have a guy with 75 points at this point, right? And our highest point total is 52. Cameron McAdoo is second, tied for second with Pierce Brown, only 1 point back. Vial and Deegan are tied for fourth and fifth, only 3 points back. And Shock is sixth, only 4 points back. Bennick is 8 points back in seventh. And Seth, you're, where are you?
13 back.
Yeah, 13 back.
I mean, 13 back still in this. But this is the cool thing, is that all of these guys are just still right here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So going to be a really fun championship here as this thing moves on. I want to say, just touch on one other thing. I have this pet peeve when people speak in the third person. I just feel like it's such a douchebag move. Like I can't stand it. And I know this isn't, I want to think this isn't Cameron normally, but he started talking to the third person up on the podium and I just like dropped my head. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, dude. Can I just get a take on that? Am I off here? Am I being too sensitive?
I didn't watch the interviews back yet, but
okay.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I didn't see that part yet, but
okay. Seth, if you win next weekend in Birmingham, don't get up and go, hey, Seth Hammaker is really happy right now. If you'd have told Seth Hammaker last weekend he was going to win, he'd be really happy. Please don't do that.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh.
We're going to let it go. Let's move on to our 450 class here. This is our Rock and Turf 450 main recap. And, you know, we talked about last weekend, really kind of a handful of guys still capable of winning this title. And I think we're down to kind of four now, where it's really Jet, Webb, Sexton, and Tomac. Those are probably your four guys who are going to scrap for this title. And those were our top four finishers here in the main event. So speaking of this start, and if you didn't watch this back, I don't know if you caught this in person, Seth, but Jet Lawrence had about 2 seconds from the time they got his tire cover off until the gate dropped.
Oh gosh.
I did catch that. Yeah.
Dude, super sketchy.
Hey, Christian's freaking out during that moment.
Yeah, he would have lost a hand if he'd have taken off. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, and it looked like it like got wrapped down behind the swing arm. Like it got into a sketchy situation where it was almost gonna be wrapped around that thing, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that was to be bad. And for Jet to like keep his composure. Like And then he messed up in the first corner, but he like pretty much had the whole shot going in, I know.
Yeah.
But then he kind of messed up. But just like you said, Ping, he had like 2 seconds from when he like put his head down. So yeah.
That crazy. Was wild. From the start of this, I really thought, all right, Chase is gone. He looked great. He had a 5-6 second gap at one point, and I just thought, all right, when Chase gets out front like this, he's pretty good. And on the Honda, he would maybe have a tendency to crash, but he hasn't shown that on the KTM. And I thought, this is his race to lose. And when they stopped doing that quad, I mean, that was it. It's all it took to lose it. Tomac admitted the same, that he didn't do it and it cost him the race. Jet knocked it out every lap like it was no big deal. It's like we had Chad Reed on last week and he made the comment, these guys aren't beating Jet. Jet's losing these races. And I don't know if Jet paid attention to that. He made a couple comments coming into the Daytona race. Like he was there, he's going to be all business. And I imagine that message is getting back to him. Like, hey dude, you've got these little mistakes and you're giving away races that really you had won. And boy, if he didn't clean it up, huh?
He looked really good to me. Yeah, I think that was the track that he would excel on, and I expected like him to do well there. But honestly, that quad, I'd never hit that all day, and in the main event, I saw a video of him hitting it and like the dirt flying up from his bike just because it was compressed like the whole way in the rut. It was crazy. But yeah, I think I agree with that. I think he's when he gets in a good flow and he doesn't do anything himself to throw it away, I think it's going to be really tough to beat him. But it's not that he's unbeatable. It's just got to be in the right position at the right time.
And talk, Seth, a little bit about that quad. I mean, you just said you never even did it when it was cleaner.
Right.
The fact that Tomac and Sexton, these guys are going, eh, no, I'm not doing that. Those guys aren't pussies. That jump was
not
really
all.
Sketchy.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Like the penalty for catching your pegs or for, you know, coming off a little cockeyed, man.
Yeah.
Crazy. And he did it every lap.
Yeah. That's really.
What about Tomac? How did you guys feel he rode? Was there any surprises for you Did you think he would have the juice to run down Jet?
Obviously Daytona, I think he came in there like super confident and stuff, but also I think with his maturity, just like we were talking about the quad, like if he's not super comfortable doing something, and obviously he wasn't, so he backed out of that. And I think rather than him, you know, as he's gone through his career, he knows, and I think that's what's kept him healthy for a long time and has won him championships and races, is just if he's not comfortable one night, you know, it's okay to take that second, which, yeah, does he want to win? Absolutely. But I don't know. It's hard to run down Jet, you know, at any race, let alone when he's already doing something that is an advantage like that quad that he was. It's going to be even harder to track him down when you're not doing it.
Yeah, I would say it was at least a second to 2 seconds by the end, because not only was the quad faster, but your momentum carried. We were faster through the whole lane, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. You didn't have to check up for that double-double.
I will say this. I wonder if at the end of the season, right, and time will just tell, is Jet just being overly confident as a younger rider going, I can do this, I got this, and it worked last night, but something like that's going to bite him later on in the series. And those guys know that, and so they're like, no, not worth it. It's interesting. Or is Jet just that much better? He's like, no, it's I got that all day. Because I know that, look, we've seen him crash and make some mistakes and throw races away. I know last week, the week prior to our last round, he had a big crash during the week, a big one. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And he, luckily he walked away from it, but he had a big one out of his practice track. And so, you know, these mistakes are being made. And I wonder if he's just young, overly confident and pushing too much, or is he so much better? This kind of stuff isn't that big a deal to him. What would your opinions be?
Bruce, I'll let you go here first.
Yeah. Yeah. Like for me, I feel like, I mean, you know, Tomac, he's got the, you know, he's got the resume to back himself with, you know, what, you know, he could do in the sport. And I feel like he's playing it smart right now. I really do. And that's where I don't want to count him out. I feel like with what he did last night was he's being very mature and thinking, you know, kind of, you know, not short, kind of thinking, you know, this is, you know, we still got more races to go. And, I don't know, man, I wouldn't count Tomac out. I feel like he was playing this really smart for last night. You know, he knows that, you know, that was a sketchy situation. And, I don't know, man, I just feel like it was a smart move on Tomac's part. And, you know, I wouldn't count him out for this with this series yet. So I think this is going to be something that's going to be showing, you know, eventually that, you know, hey, that's smart that Tomac didn't do that, and this is why. So.
What about you, Seth? How do you see it?
Yeah, I think with Jet, like, well, confidence is obviously a huge thing. And I think with him being a little bit younger, I think those things don't run through his head as much, which is understandable. Like, it probably didn't Tomac it when he was 20, you know? So I think, that plays a big part, and I think that's why part of the reason Jet's really good is because his confidence is high in his ability, and, you know, it has to be so. But I think there will be a time in his career that maybe, you know, once he got into the lead and could figure out a different line in that rhythm instead of doing the quad every lap, I think he will in the future, just because not to take those unnecessary risks every lap. But I think that just comes with age and time. And yeah, he's a very young racer, and I think his speed tells otherwise, and just even his maturity as in his racecraft.
Yeah.
And hey, Ping, this goes back to what Reed said too, where, you know, he's losing the races himself. Right. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of where Tomac will benefit, where he's being more smarter about situations like that. Like, could Tomac quad that section? Of course he could. Of course he could. But there's a lot of risks involved, you know? And so this is where
you know, with Jet, you know, he's young, he's very confident. Yeah, it definitely paid off last night, but I feel like, you know, doing that every round, it's going to probably cause, you know, can cause some, you know, costly mistakes. And that's where I feel I'm pretty confident that Tomac is going to be able to capitalize in situations like that moving forward.
Yeah. Those other guys are just going to have to manage or minimize the damage on their bad races. Cause like, I feel like Jet's going to be there, you know, even if his bad race is a third, you know, those other guys are going to have to do the same so they don't lose points when he does win, you know?
Yep.
So. Agreed. It's like, they're going to have to make a calculation of like, okay, is he going to have a big one that costs him 20 points?
Right.
Some John eats it and he finishes 17th. Versus, okay, he clicks off of, now it's starting to get out of reach and they've got to either take more chances. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting to that breaking point. We'll talk about the points in a minute. Let me run through the rest of the results here. So Chase held on for third. It was a good ride for him. I think that he played a big factor in the outcome of this race, and I'll talk about that in a second. Webb was fourth, a good ride charge. He was one of the few guys really moving forward. Mm-hmm. Roxon went back to fifth. Justin Cooper, another solid ride in sixth place. He's been surprisingly good just all year, a little bit quiet. Like, he's kind of not a lot of spotlight on him, but man, he's putting in solid rides. Malcolm Stewart, Ferrandis, Anderson, and Bloss. Congrats to Beta on their first ever top 10 with Benny in 10th place. That's great. Here's my Maxis moment of the night. There was a moment where Eli had was getting some pressure from Jet. Chase was leading. And Eli and Jet pushed right up to the back of Chase. And Jet made a pass through on Eli. I think it was through the whoops or whatever. And the very next turn, Jet snuck by Sexton. Kind of an aggressive pass and started to take off. And Eli had an opportunity to go by Chase right away. And I think you could see in his riding, he knew he had to get by quick. If he let Jet get away, it was over. And you could see kind of some impatience on the part of Eli. And he had one moment where he turned a corner and went to swing a pass on Chase. I think it was going into the whoops. And whether he didn't quite commit to it or just didn't have the room, Chase blocked him. And it actually slowed them both down. And then he ended up sitting behind Chase for five more laps. And that was it. Jet was gone and the race was over. I don't know if Eli would have been able to run his pace, but I think if he would have gotten into second right away and at least seen Jet doing that quad, maybe he would have been like, all right, I gotta send it. Mm-hmm. And that would have changed the outcome. So for me, that was it. That was kind of the moment where if Eli wanted a shot at the win, he had to get by Sexton right away, and he didn't.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on that thing. Yep.
I agree 100%. And it's all, like, if you would have gotten by Sexton, when you have that guy closer to you, not only for line choice, but just, you know, just that chase. And when you can see him and when he's in within reach, I feel like that's when Tomac gets better. So,
yeah, he's a shark smelling blood in the water. But when you're 6 seconds back, that's a lot of work on a guy like
the leader can manage it. Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick peek at the points. Oh, last thing I want to mention, I think it was Eli's shock that was smoking. I'm really curious to find out what it was. They kept talking about the clutch, but every time he would land hard off of something, we'd get a big puff of smoke. And I thought, that feels like shock to me, like something was leaking and it was dropping oil on the head pipe. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it looked like to me. And he said his clutch felt fine. Now, you'd think if the shock was leaking, he would definitely know that too. So
right.
Very weird how that thing smoked the last half of the race, and credit to Yamaha for, you know, building a bike that will stay together, but be interesting to find out what that was. I haven't heard definitively yet. And I know the Star guys will kind of keep that probably whatever it was, though, you know, keep it under wraps a little bit. Let's look at points. So right now Jet leading with 160. Webb is 10 back in second. Sexton's 13 back with in third, and then Tomac is fourth, 16 points back. What are your guys' thoughts on this here? Like, 16 points, man. I feel like we're right on this edge of, like, if you got to turn the tides. Tomac has got to start getting some wins and putting Jet behind him if he wants to compete for this title. It starts to get closer to 20, and I feel like it just goes out of reach.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, you know, with for Tomac, it's like, well, for the all the guys, you know, that are within reach, minimizing the damage on their bad races. But at this point, it's like you got to start pushing the issue, or else it's going to get too far, and you're not going to be able to get it back, unless Jet would, for some reason, have one of those races where he finishes back and doesn't get many points. But like I said, I'm with you. I feel like, yeah, this is time to start clicking off wins if they want to get really in this thing and start taking risk.
Yeah, and you know, Ping, I'm with Seth on that, but also it's so unpredictable. I mean, for all we know, I mean, we can get Stewart win next week. You know, can take the win next weekend. You know, it's like this whole series has been so unpredictable. So it's a very interesting series so far for the 450 class.
Yeah, I feel like we've kind of shaken a few of the guys off. Like AP finally had his tough one, mm-hmm. and that cost him in points. Anderson sort of slipped out of the points chase a bit. Some of these guys that we thought, oh, they're going to be contenders. And, you know, like I say, one by one, you see them peel off. It's just the way it goes. And I think we're down to these four guys. And I think for someone outside of those four to win a race, it's going to take a pretty special circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think any one of those four, it's a toss-up. With maybe a little edge to Jet, just based on statistics. He's been winning more than they have. So any other kind of last minute things you want to throw in here before we go? I don't want to take too much of Seth's time up.
I think I'm good. Yeah, that was wrapped it up pretty good. Yeah, the one thing, I mean, just thinking about Chase with how his arm, I know his arm's been kind of hurting. So maybe as that gets better, maybe he'll be able to push it more and kind of, you know, I think he's been managing that more than people probably think, but it's obviously hard to tell. He's the only one that knows, though, you know. So,
well, he said he got back on the bike to ride during the week before Daytona. So,
yeah,
it tells you he's definitely it's an issue.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure.
All right, so all in all, great weekend of racing, and I think we're going to see more of the same. It's going to be really fun to watch this four rider battle here in the 450 class, and in the 250 class, it's basically 10 guys. So. Seth, we appreciate you joining us, and stoked to hear your story from the weekend, and stoked to see you on the podium. And I know you got a win coming, buddy. So, stay on the gas, and hopefully it's next weekend in Alabama.
Yeah. That's right. I appreciate it. Keep the ball rolling. Looking forward to the next one, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, and you're in a good spot right now, Seth. I mean, you know, it's a podium and Daytona is huge, and I, like Pink said, I'm definitely feel you having a win coming here soon. So
let's go. I think so too.
Yep.
Let's go indeed. Quick shout out to our sponsors here before we sign off: Rock and Turf, the boys at Maxxis, and also our friends at Speed Straps. If you guys are in the market for turf tires or tie downs, we'll check our boys out. They're supporting us, so support them. Thank you to Seth Hammaker and Bruce Murata. I'm David Pingree. We will see you guys on Thursday for Sight Lap as we look ahead to next weekend. Thanks for stopping by.